Hello, welcome to the Virtue Podcast. My name is Melanie Brown, and it's such a privilege to share a few thoughts from God's Word with you. If you're familiar at all with this ministry, you know that the Bible is our lifeline. More than man's opinion, more than the crowd's approval, we esteem God's Word. It's the map that guides us, the blueprint we build our lives on, and the anchor that holds us secure. And we believe that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful to teach us what is true. It instructs, corrects, comforts, encourages, and equips us. The Bible reveals who God is and who we are. It brings clarity and purpose to our lives. By the time this podcast is aired, we'll be saying goodbye to 2020 and about to step into the new year of 2021. This is normally the time when we make our New Year's resolutions and start our diets, right? Usually there's a lot of excitement as we consider the possibilities of the future. I can't help but think there are a few of you listening who are filled more with anxiety rather than anticipation. Many are waiting for the calendar to turn, hoping that it will bring stability, happiness, or a sense of normalcy back into your life. Some of you wish you can just have a do-over. And you're kind of mad that you have to add another year to your age. You're ready for this year to end so that you can have a fresh start. I was talking with a friend who's excited because she's awaiting a grandchild to be born in the coming year. And I thought about that. What if we were all anticipating something new that the Lord was going to birth in our lives? Perhaps a new opportunity or an assignment. Would that change your outlook? I think we're all wondering if things will get better, worse, or remain the same in our world. The reality is, no one really knows. And maybe the uncertainty of what 2021 will bring is enough to fill you with fear and debilitate you. If I'm totally honest and transparent, I've never been so confused and suspicious of everything that I hear these days, whether it's televised on the news, reported in newspapers, or posted on social media. I find myself asking, who is telling the truth? And who can I trust? The so-called facts and stats just keep changing. Can you relate? I think that's why I'm so grateful for the reliability of the Bible. We know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever. God's Word is consistent, and it will never contradict itself. He is sovereign. That means that He is in control of all things. He rules heaven and earth. And He is always good, always faithful, and always true. So how do we move forward in such seemingly uncertain times? As Christians, we do it in confident faith, knowing what we believe and who we believe in. I've heard Pastor Greg say countless times over the years, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And that is so comforting. Like you, I've had my share of struggles these past few months. One morning in my quiet time with the Lord, I just poured out my frustration, confusion, and sadness and begged Him to help me. I felt so bombarded by all the voices and varying opinions, strong opinions, I might add, and I needed the Lord to speak to me. I wanted to have His mind and share His thoughts. My personal prayer lately has been, Lord, give me Your perspective. I want to look like You, act like You, talk like You, respond like You, and love like You. I needed Him to tell me what to believe and what was true. Can I ask you a question? Who are you listening to? Who is the predominant voice and opinion you're giving your ear to? I've noticed that people will repeat what they've been exposed to. Those of you who have young children know what I'm talking about. Without any formal instruction, your kids will start repeating or copying your sayings and how you talk. They're like little parrots. You hear yourself in the things that they say. This could be a good thing or a very bad thing. Who are you repeating? Or should I say, what are you regurgitating? When we saturate ourselves in Scripture, in truth, it will fill our hearts. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, if you're feeding on the promises of God, you will speak statements of truth, and it will fuel your faith. I've always believed that if you were a woman of the Word, you will be a woman with a word. The truth of God's word will be in your heart and flowing from your lips. The Proverbs 31 woman opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. The Message paraphrase says it like this: when she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say. That's my desire. How about you? What has God said in His Word? Since we don't have a lesson this week, can I give you an assignment? Sometime today, write down something you know to be true about God. It could be a promise you read or a scripture you've memorized, and then I want you to personalize it. This is what I wrote, and I made it personal because when I read the Bible, I read it as a love letter that the Lord is speaking over me. And He said, "Melanie, I will never leave you or forsake you." That's in Hebrews 13:5. He said, "Melanie, I have good plans for your life to give you a future and hope." Jeremiah 29:11. "Melanie, don't worry about anything, but pray, talk to me about everything." And that's in Philippians 4:6. And I could go on and on. But you know, even the best of us have lapses of faith sometimes, right? And that's why we need to repeat God's word to ourselves and to others. We all need to be encouraged and be reminded of these things. So that morning, as I was sitting quietly before the Lord, pondering what it means to know truth, you know, I think if I was to analyze why I was so discouraged, it's because I thought I needed to be an expert on the pandemic and on politics, and it just felt so overwhelming. Remember, what overwhelms us does not overwhelm God. We need to take all those cares and burdens and anxious thoughts to Him. And you know, He brought to my remembrance a portion of Scripture. It's found in the book of John, chapter 17, verses 16 through 18. And let me just give you the context. It's right before Jesus goes to the cross, and He's praying with His disciples. He's actually praying to the Father out loud so everyone could hear Him. And this is what He said. In verse 16, He says, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world." And in that moment, I felt like God was putting iron in my soul and recalibrating my thoughts. He gave me these three verses as a firm foundation to stand on. Let me break them down quickly for you because there's so much treasure here. In verse 16, He says, "They are not of the world." They, the disciples, and that means us today. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I love that scripture because scripture not only tells us who God is, but who we are, our identity. And my true citizenship is in heaven. And Jesus was reminding me that I am not of this world. If you're a new Christian, that term might seem a little strange to you. Let me explain. When scripture talks about the world, it's not referring to planet Earth. It means the world system, those who have rejected Christ. You either submit to the authority of God and His word, or you follow the way of the world and make your own rules on how to live. And that will keep changing. Jesus is reminding us that He was not of this world, His kingdom was not of this world, and neither are we. We are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." In other words, don't copy the behavior of the world, but let God transform you by changing the way you think. The way you think will have a direct effect on the way you act, talk, respond, where you go, and even what you post. Even though we're not of the world, we're still living in this world, which means that the things of the world, suffering, sickness, political conflict, and racial tensions will impact Christians and non-Christians alike. But we are called to live differently. Verse 17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify means to be set apart for a holy purpose or for a particular use. God has always required that His people would be holy, for He is holy. What sets us apart? What makes us holy? It's the Word of God. It's the Bible that we hold in our hands. This is truth. And God is sanctifying us. He's changing and transforming us into His likeness as we read, study, and apply His Word in our lives. And what follows in verse 18 is so exciting because it gives us direction and purpose. He says, "Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world." Jesus was sent into the world to reveal God the Father and to show the way of salvation. And now we're being commissioned, we're being sent into the world to share that truth. Even though we're not part of the world system, that doesn't mean we isolate ourselves. It's quite the opposite. You know, when I was sick and had to be in quarantine, I experienced isolation. No one was coming in and no one was going out. But that's not how we are to be as Christians. We are called to be involved in every sector of society as ambassadors for Christ. We are His witnesses. A witness gives evidence of what they've seen and heard and experienced. Can I ask you a question? How has your witness been, especially in 2020? How well are you living out what you say you believe about Jesus? Our lives should reflect the reality of who Jesus is. And when unbelievers observe us, there should be something about our speech, our demeanor, our values, and our confidence that should draw them. Perhaps this is a good time to do a fruit inspection of our lives. Are we displaying joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Ladies, we've been called to be salt and light in the world. And if we're hiding away and in despair, that can't happen. And this is where I personally feel God's conviction. Believe it or not, I have a very melancholy personality, and I often have to fight feelings of discouragement. But then I remember 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Lord doesn't want us to live in fear, hide, or sink into depression. The enemy wants us to do that. He knows that if he can keep us in those dark places, he will render us ineffective for the kingdom. But God tells us, do not be afraid. Did you know not to fear is the most repeated command in Scripture? We know that there are scary things in life. We're not turning a blind eye, burying our head in the sand, or minimizing the pain, because those things are real. But as Christians, women who have been set apart, God has commanded us to be strong and courageous, not to be afraid or discouraged. Why? Because the Lord our God will be with us wherever we go. And that's a promise we take with us into 2021. It's important that we know God's word, because that's how He reveals Himself to us. The degree to which you know Him will be the level of comfort and confidence you will receive from Him. Let me repeat that. The degree to which you know Him will be the level of comfort and confidence you will receive from Him. Friends, we want to be different in the new year. Let's grow in sanctification, looking more and more like Jesus. We know it's a process. It's actually a work of the Holy Spirit, but we can cooperate with the Spirit. What will your attitude and posture be in the new year? And I think this is the challenge. When there's a choice to be angry, critical, or defensive, what if we chose joy, hope, and humility? Let's not succumb to the cancel culture of our day, where we're easily offended and we're so quick to disconnect from each other. Let's continue to abide in Christ, extend grace, and love one another. We mustn't act like the world who doesn't know Jesus personally. As our time comes to a close, I recognize that maybe some of you are listening are baby believers. Maybe you're new to Bible study and the Christian faith, and you're just beginning to take your first steps of faith. I want to encourage you to stay in the Word, make it a priority, and the Lord will strengthen and supply you with everything you need as you walk forward in this new year. Others of you who are tuning in are seasoned believers. You've been walking with the Lord for decades. You know the Bible. You've memorized Scripture. And perhaps in this stage of life, God is asking you to apply to a greater degree what you know, to live out what you believe with more boldness and conviction. Younger believers are looking up to you, whether you want them to or not. And perhaps you've been listening to this podcast and you recognize that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've been trying to navigate life on your own. Simply ask God to forgive you of your sins and invite Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. He loves you and he longs to take you by the hand and walk with you into this new year. The more you get to know him, the more you're going to fall in love with him. And the more you love him, the more you will obey his word. And that's how he'll change and transform your life. And if you're not already a part of a small group, come to Virtue. We'll be launching our new study in the book of Revelation at the end of January. So, ladies, are you going to drag your feet, tiptoe, or walk confidently into this new year? I suggest that we run. Let's run with confidence, knowing that our God is faithful and his word is reliable. We know that there will be challenges, but there's also going to be great blessings. We don't want to miss out. We want to be sent out. There are opportunities to seize and people to serve and love in Jesus' name.